Welcome everyone to episode something something of the Kaiju Podcast. My name is Chad O'Brien, and I am joined by a very special guest, the author of the third best wrestling book in 2015, according to Dave Meltzer's Wrestling Observer, Chris Charlton.
Hey guys, I'm Chris Charlton.
Wait, something's not right. What happens?
Are you sure?
What happens, Jason Gibson?
Well, you ate him, right?
Oh yeah. Okay. Yep. Everything's all fine. Strike that. Chad's disappeared. I don't know what's happened to him. It's been summit this week. Maybe he went to Kyoto.
Could be.
That would be fun.
Well, I mean, I'm sure he has a personal life.
Oh, right. Yeah. Really?
Maybe.
Yeah. I remember having one of those. yeah. Well, then. It's just the two of us. Has this been a combination that we've ever done on this program?
Program? I'm thinking maybe like one time, but my memory is not so good. You know, I get about 4 hours of sleep a night, so.
Yeah, I know how that is. I know how that goes.
And yeah, that being babies are great.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. mine is nearly one.
Mine's about one and a half, so.
Right, so that's just like, when does your baby sleep in the same room as you?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah, we do
so, like, you're at the point thing, yeah. Where, like, they just wake up and then they wake up before you and then just stamp on your head until you wake up.
Well, they wake up before me and then cry for, like, half an hour.
my elder didn't cry. Like, because my youngest is, like, morning, is very much a morning person.
Mm.
Very, very happy in the morning. But my older boy just, like, called and just, like, started slapping me in the head.
Yeah, it's kind of opposite for me. My older one was really, really good in the mornings, and the younger one is just terrible. Terrible.
Well, as soon as he is well enough equipped to sleep, then he's getting his own room, and we'll be that.
Well, we've got a bed for him. It's at the grandparents' house, but it's there.
Well, that's even better.
Goodbye.
So, I had to come and re-usurp Chad for 1 week to come back on the show after I listened to last week's program. And Chad made the mistake of saying that Resident Evil 6 was a Square Enix property. That just, you know, I sure hope somebody got fired for that blunder.
Well, that's why he's not here. Yeah. I mean, considering I haven't played a Resident Evil since 3, I really am not an expert in any way on that game series.
I have played 3 Resident Evil games. Not Resident Evil 3, but I've played 3 Resident Evil games, and I've played a Dino Crisis. And I'm here to tell you that they're all bad. Yes, Resident Evil 4 included.
Well, I kind of like Dino Crisis because it never really took itself as seriously, I feel.
Yeah, because they're fucking dinosaurs,
it was
just, right?
Yeah, it was dinosaurs.
yeah. No, I mean, like, the Dino Crisis as a concept, fantastic. But, you know, tank controls. But, yeah, I mean, yeah, that would be a thing, right? Like remake Dino Crisis.
Yeah, they should totally do that.
Remaking Resident Evil, like, doing that to the moon.
20 dinosaurs, times.
Yeah. Dinosaurs, I swear it's out.
Absolutely.
Yes. Also, I'm here to say, as a side note, chairs are very much still a thing in professional wrestling, just not to the noggin.
Yeah, but what kind? What kind is the question we had?
The metal
the folding chairs?
Classic, yeah. It used to be, back in the 80s, they were, like, painted blue, weren't they? Or, like, baby blue chairs.
Yeah.
They're more black because, like, wrestling's extreme now. Or, it went through that phase, you know, when everything was extreme. Wrestling was extreme for a bit.
Yeah.
So now everything black, then the black just stayed. Yep.
No tables?
Tables, they're not as fashionable as they used to be, but yeah, tables. table, sure. Japanese tables in Japanese wrestling, much tougher because they're just fucking tables, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas very often tables in Western wrestling, they're sensible with them and they prepare them beforehand.
Well, they're the breakaway, right?
For the sake of someone to go through them. Here, they're just like the announce tables that they use for the announcers to sit at. They're just like fucking those thick tables with the metal underbar in. And then American wrestlers will come over to Japan and think, I'm going to put someone through this. And it's like, nope.
Well, I hope they have really good insurance plans in New Japan.
Well, that's a whole thing that I'm not allowed to discuss.
NDAs and all that.
What I am allowed to discuss is video games.
Oh, I think we all are. I think that's why we're here.
We've got our official licenses. Video game punditry board. We had to pass an exam.
Oh, I just had to pay $50 online. I don't know what you're talking about. Shit. Yeah.
You got one of those, e-licenses. You got ordained and allowed to talk about video games at the same time.
Yeah, I can marry you and also give you a rundown of the latest Destiny game at the same time.
Did you ever have someone do that? Like, did you when you got married in Japan? Did you have a Western style marriage? And was it? And if so, was it one of those like just English conversation teachers that this?
No, we actually had two. We had one in Japan, which is Japan style, and then we had another one like 6 months later in the US, which is Western style.
Oh, okay. So they were both legit.
Yeah.
Totally got a fake priest.
Oh, God. Yeah, no, I told my wife we are not doing the wedding village. It's not happening. I vetoed that straight out. Although right now, I kind of, like, looking back on it, I kind of wish I had because it would have been a lot cheaper.
But, I mean, it was still, you know, ball-breakingly expensive, but you get all the cash. You know, so like we profited in the end. But
my wedding happened literally 3 weeks after the disaster in 2011. Like literally 3 weeks, and we couldn't cancel or reschedule, so not a lot of people came.
Oh no! Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah.
That's not good. That's all good. When we walked out, they just like completely by random had like the organ tune they played was like Pomp and Circumstance. So I did like Randy
graduating
Savage
from your bachelor
and,
life.
I did Randy Savage poses going on. Yeah.
Nice.
Yep. So as you can usually tell, by this point, 10 minutes into a podcast that we do, there isn't any video game news. Everybody's all getting ready for E3, right?
Yeah.
And like the things that we're interested in that are not, you know, that are too small to be at E3 are having their own thing. So Bit Summit is happening this weekend, which is an indie thing in Kyoto, which I always think I would want to go to, were it not for the fact it's in Kyoto.
Just tell your wife it's job related. Got a business trip.
Can't really. But so there's some other things that specifically I'm interested in, like Fight Pro Wrestling World, which is having an unveiling event on May the 31st. But that's not really for this podcast because it would just be me chin wagging.
Well, I mean, that's supposed to be like somewhat of a return to form to the series, right? Which is why you're so excited about it.
Well, yeah, in that it's an actual proper game in the series. And, you know, the last one was like, it was, for some fucking reason, like, it was co-opted by Microsoft Game Studios. So it was, and this was like right around, you know, when they did like the new Xbox 360 experience. And it was all avatars, right? And so this was Fire Pro Wrestling in 3D with avatars, you know. And does not count. This is, I'm stupidly excited for it to the point of I never play games on my personal computer, but because this is a Steam early access joint first, I'm going to get it on PC. But yes, that is a separate thing. And there's nothing, there was no news in video games because everybody's gearing up to E3, but news in television. Hot news in television on, the something about flicks that you can watch on the internet.
Is it really television though? Like, you watch it on a television, but it's not.
TV, it's the thing. Jason.
I suppose so. But I mean, I don't ever watch Netflix on my television.
Do you not? Do you watch it on your computer monitor?
Or my phone, yeah, usually. Really? Like, I guess lately I've sort of been streaming stuff to my TV, but that's just because I'm washing dishes and I don't like having my phone around water.
Right, see, I can't crane my head to watch the TV from the kitchen. So I do watch stuff on my phone, but it's always like, it's always either YouTube or it's wrestling. The one, literally the 1 hour of TV that that we watch, or my wife and I watch, is Netflix, and like, we are gradually catching, we nearly finished Orange is the New Black right in time for there to be a new season of that.
I kind of wish I could share shows with my wife, but she likes stuff like Grey's Anatomy, and I tend to watch stuff like Archer and Rick and Morty. So, not a lot of overlap there.
Yeah, that kind of, you need to find a middle ground. But then, like, your middle ground there would be Scrubs, and that is terrible.
No, you know what's weird? We both like Game of Thrones, but she can't watch it in English because it's too complicated, and she can't read the subtitles in Japanese fast enough. So, we'd have to watch it in Japanese, and then I wouldn't know what's going on.
That's not good at all.
But anyways.
You know what's a bit like Game of Thrones in video game form?
The Witcher series?
I don't know, is it? It's fantasy and there's tits in it, right?
It's
the same for both.
Well, I mean, if not, you take out...
I have to say at this point, I have neither played The Witcher nor watched Game of Thrones.
I've read all the books, and I played The Witcher 3, which was really, really good. Take out all of the political intrigue and probably 90% of the murder from the Game of Thrones, and yeah, it's kind of similar, I guess.
Right. So, ripe for a televisual series.
Yeah, no, actually it is, I think. Because, like, the game, like, it's one of those open-world, like, quest-type games. You know, you go to a town, and you have an overarching goal, but you go to a town, and you get some quests, and you go do your stuff. So it could be something like Supernatural or something, you know, where they have a thing they do every episode. There's an overarching goal to this season, but there's a thing they do every episode, and I guess it could be something like that.
You know why I really like Mass Effect 2? Is because it's like a season of Star Trek or something, right? Because like all of those loyalty quests were just like different episodes of this TV show that you could probably skip one, or you know what I mean? It wouldn't really matter. And then it was all tied together with this grand thing. And I always think, you know, that it's a falsehood, or like it's a stupid thing to go after cinematic, right? Like, your video games are so cinematic, like that is the goal, whereas like I think a better goal is televisual, you know, like that kind of storytelling suits video games better, especially because like a short video game is still three times the length of a movie, you know.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, you shouldn't do cinematic unless your name is Hideo Kojima, and even then you might want to think twice about it. That episodic the episodic format does seem to lend itself a lot better to video games, which is why I'm really not looking forward to the Assassin's Creed movie. That's going to be a hot pile of garbage.
That already came out, right? I mean, and it was a hot pile of garbage.
Well, I mean, but I haven't seen it.
It raises a good point. Video game TV shows, let's bang our heads together and think of what there has been. I know there was like a Mortal Kombat series.
They put out sort of
anime's a cheat.
They put out a really good one, Assassin's Fist, which wasn't like a series. It was like a made-for-TV special,
right?
But it was on Netflix, I think. I can't remember.
And that's actually Assassin's Creed, is it?
No, it was Street Fighter Assassin's Fist. It was like the origin story of Ryu and Ken, and how Akuma came to be. It was actually really, really good. I would recommend you to go watch it if you haven't seen it. But yeah, that wasn't a TV show, but it was really good. Right. What else was there?
Yeah.
I don't know. All I can think of all those crappy Uwe Boll movies.
Yeah, right. Yeah, movies. Tons of video game movies. But like video games, like TV shows. I'm going to Google them right now. Because obviously like your Captain N's and like your fucking... Super Mario Brothers, super shows. I'm actually going video game TV shows right now. List of television programs based on video games. Thank you, Wikipedia.
Oh yes.
Here we go. Now, like animated programs, like there's tons. So, like they like Mega Man, F-Zero had an anime. Tatsujin had a movie, had an anime apparently.
Okay.
Virtua Fighter had an anime. Of course, Yo-Kai Watch. Like, live action programs. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
And how many of them were released outside of Japan?
These are all made in the West.
Oh, okay.
So two of them we will cut out. One is the Super Mario Brothers Super Show, and one is Street Fighter Assassin's Fist. So, skip those, because we just mentioned them. Mortal Kombat as well had two series. So that doesn't really count. Mortal Kombat Conquest. Conquest with a K, of course. And Mortal Kombat Legacy. See if you can name some of the other ones. There is definitely one that's kind of famous. And in fact, like, there's two series based on the same franchise that you should know, especially because you're an American and you would have grown up at about this time. Educational.
Carmen Sandiego?
There you go. Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? And where in time is Carmen Sandiego?
But that was like a game show.
Yeah, kind of. Right? Yeah. But I mean, at least, and speaking of game show, You Don't Know Jack was also, there was a short-lived TV series based on.
Really?
There you go.
Really?
But the other stuff, yeah, apparently there was a, Defiance?
Defiance.
Defiance? I don't even know what the fucking video game was for Defiance.
It
was based on an MMORPG video game at the same time. Oh. There you go. Dragon Age. It seems there was a low budget Dragon Age, 6-part web series. That doesn't fucking count, right?
No.
Fallout Nuka Break.
What?
Yep. 12 episodes plus one pilot plus one special in two seasons. Is this a web? Oh, it was a YouTube. Fuck it. It's a YouTube original. Jeez.
Oh, that doesn't count
that
either.
That doesn't count either. Here's one that, yes, legit, because the other one, Halo 4, Forward and Stone, that doesn't fucking count either. So really, if we're cutting out game shows, and we're cutting
web
out
series.
Kids shows, and we're cutting out web series, and we're cutting out Assassin's Fist, because that was like a made-for-TV movie, then there is precisely one.
Which is?
Maniac Mansion.
Oh!
So there you go. Six episodes across three seasons out of Canada. And I hear it was quite good.
That's what I've heard too. I've never seen it, but I have seen, here and there, people, waxing poetic about the series.
Yeah. So just a real, my goodness. Yeah, such a really, that's such an odd thing, right? You'd have thought there would be so much more.
It seems like there's a lot of untapped potential there.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, and there was that talk, wasn't there? Like, it turned out to be, they optioned it, but it never got any further about a Zelda TV show, right? I'm all up, like, my heart sinks when it's like, oh, TV show, films based on video games. But TV shows based on video games, sure, why not?
What I would watch religiously is a Warcraft TV show. Like, because they have so much story, just like, they could make 20 seasons of that show,
the
stories that they have, but they decided to make some crap CG movie out of it and try to jam everything into 2 hours.
Sure.
If they had made like a Netflix original or a Hulu original or whatever series out of that, I would watch that because it's a good story.
Yeah. I was yeah. That's so. You know, going on to that, like other TV shows that are based on video games that we got. Obviously, yeah, as I said, Mass Effect. Like,
yeah,
a Mass Effect TV show would probably do much better than the most recent Mass Effect video game. and really just like most RPGs, right? Fucking yeah. Alpha Protocol, which is a game like I'm mildly obsessed about, you know, even though I never really played that much of it. Mm. The amount that I played of it was just like awesome. You know, it should be like a 24-hour style TV show.
Well, you could take any BioWare game. Any BioWare game and make a TV show out of it.
Yeah, there you go. God, what else would make a good TV show? Let us know what you think, listeners.
Yeah.
Send a tweet at us at KaijuPop of what would be good, what would make good TV fodder for video games. When I was playing, you know, as I mentioned before, we're still watching Orange is the New Black, and like when I played Prison Architect for a bit, for a review, I was constantly thinking that, you know, in TV show.
So. Were you trying to construct the prison from the show?
No, but like just, you know, it's very, you know, it concerns, Prison Architect concerns itself with essentially exactly the same fucking themes, you know, I mean, it's not an all-female prison, but it's like the, you know, the prison industry in America, you know, for-profit kind of stuff of it.
Can you make it an all-female prison?
That I do not know, but I don't know. There's probably a certain point where it starts getting, there are issues and political minefields to sort of cross.
True.
But yeah, so that is the news that was this week, which is to say there was no news.
Yeah.
But luckily, we've been playing some video games because, I've been away for a couple of weeks, so I've played three of the video games. Actually, kind of four, but one of them was like the first 10 minutes of The Order 1886 because it was like $3 on like the PSN flash sale.
Because like, nobody wants it because it was awful.
It's just a, as far as I can tell, it is a quick time event. Like, it's not a video game. It's just.
It's a 3-hour quick time event.
I guess. Like, I literally played the pre-credit sequence. You know, the cold open was the part that I actually played. And it was all just like, hold down triangle. Oh, now you have to rapidly press triangle. So that was, that. But I did play another old game and that was Abzu.
Oh, yeah, that looked really cool. I never got around to playing that.
Yeah, I was intrigued by it because I love Journey. You know, I hold that as one of my favorite games ever. And I love Flower as well, and, like, you know, this is by the same art director and, like, a couple of other people. From that, then spun off into, like, the studio that made Abzu, which is all about swimming. So, like, you know, all those great video games, Jason, that have swimming sections in them?
Like Echo the Dolphin?
Yeah, how would you like to play an entire game where you swim? It's weird, like, it's by the art director of Flower and Journey, and, like, those games have amazing art, right? And, like, Abzu has, like, amazing art where it's like both those games are about scale in a way. Like Flower is like on a very sort of micro scale, right? And it impresses because like you have those like the just like the really lush grass and like, you know, and everything on a micro scale is really impressive. And Journey is more macro, I think. Like it's more about like the scenery you're going through.
Yeah, because you can always see the end goal.
And in Abzu, it's kind of, they go through, it, you know, flits and spurts, you know, it's like, it wants to show you there's some really nice architecture in it, and it's really good at generating, like, those massive shoals of tiny fish, and I don't know shit all about fish, but, like, you go to the aquarium, and, like, there's, like, thousands of fucking fish, right, and they all swim together, right, and it does that, and it looks really impressive, and then there's parts where, you're looking at something very close up and it's just so bad. In an almost parried, like there's one, like one of the little tenets, like the main story beat focuses around like your relationship to this shark. That's not, it's not a close relationship, but like you're swimming, like he's swimming in the same space as you through a lot of things. And he does a couple of things, the shark does. Mm. And there is a bit where the shark is in trouble and, you help the shark out of the predicament that it's in. Like it's trapped and you help to free it. And there's a bit where the camera chooses to go in really close on you and the shark. And for some fucking stupid reason, somebody thought it would be a good idea to have the shark smile at you.
What?
You're right? So what? Like, the shark is smiling. And then there's a bit where, you know, light spoilers for Abzu because this game is over a year old now. The shark dies at the end and he looks sad.
Does like his mouth move, or is it like, yeah, a camera angle just, that makes it look like he's, yeah, smiling?
Right, I don't know, it's camera thing and like the corners of its mouth just like slightly. I mean, he's a happy shark. Oh, that's a happy shark. Oh, it's a shy shark. It's a sad shark. So yeah, and like it's not. It doesn't really fucking say much either. You know, it doesn't have the resonancy, certainly the emotional resonancy that Journey has, which, you know, very sort of, it's an emotional journey. It's your journey through life, effectively, you know. It's very sort of, Shakespearean. But the, you know, it's more sort of on the flower end where it's like, oh, humans are bad. Like, and that's basically it.
Look at pretty things.
Look at pretty things and then like people are bad. And so yeah, there's not much to sort of keep you hooked in terms of a message that it's saying. And like in terms of gameplay, you're doing jack shit because it's one of those games. It's not a walking sim. It's a swimming sim.
Swimming.
But there's no, like when you're playing one of those walking simulator games, there's a lot of story to those very often. Nothing to this. But
will the shark ever eat you?
No, you can't, Guy. You can't. You're never under any threat at all. There's bits where you get zapped by things, but you just get mildly stunned and then you keep going, you know, so. And, you know, it's, some of it looks really nice and it's nice to be in those spaces, but that's about it, really. It's a little bit hollow. Felt a little bit hollow. Me, anyway. What else? I played, Spellspire, which is a game that's out next week on the PS4. I don't know whether 10 tons have come up in, when the three of us have been on this podcast. I know, like, when it was me and Chad, there was a run, like, last year where 10 tons would send us a fucking game every week for a couple of months. And we'd always give them bad reviews or make videos of them and sort of like make fun of them. And, they'd always send us games. And, it's been a while, but they sent us another one. And like basically like they were able to turn these out an awful lot because they were just like straight ports of their mobile games.
And
that was really the fucking issue, was that these mobile games weren't very good. And then you're porting them as is to the PlayStation 4, hence charging people for it.
Yeah.
But they did do this game Neon Chrome last year that was actually quite good. On its own, so I was like, yeah, give this Spellspire thing. It's a direct port of a mobile game. it's one of those, you've probably played a million of them, where it's one of those word games that's also an RPG, you know? So it's like you've got a shuffle bunch of letters and you've got to make words quickly before the monsters attack, and the bigger words you make, the more damage you deal, and like, yeah. And it's like, you know, I mean, like, it's fine for what it is. Like, it's not bad or anything. Like, you get,
if it was on a phone,
right? Yeah, you get extra stuff. You get, but like, you know, you get sort of loot and you get, like, you know, perks and stuff and stuff. And it's like, but you know, I mean, the thing is, if it was on a phone, there were zillions of these, right? And there's nothing that makes it stand out on a phone. And I suppose on PS4, there's not as many of those games.
I think there's a reason for that, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, why would you want, you know, why would you want, it's going to be cheap, I think. It's like, you know, it comes out on Tuesday, it's like $5 or something.
I can't imagine the controls would be very good for a mobile port.
It's not that bad, but I mean, like, obviously, I think, I haven't played the mobile version, but this is also coming out on Vita as well. Like, wow, it's a game actually out on Vita. But, you know, I would assume you just type. You know, you just touch the letters you have and they pop up. So, like, here it's a little bit slower because you've got to move a cursor across the letter and actually choose it. And then you hit the trigger to enter in your word. But, I mean, it's not, you've only got 8 letters to deal with within each round. So, I mean, it's not like you're lost or anything.
I was thinking more like a big grid of letters that you had to make words out of.
Yeah. It's more like a limited thing, and just a bit boring, really.
Well, at least it was free, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. I have played something better. And something with more meat to it, but tell us what you've been up to first.
I played Dead Cells this week. It came out in early access on Steam, and I've been looking forward to that for a long time, so I thought I'd pick it up. It is a... Have you heard anything about this game?
No, sir.
It is the newest game from Motion Twin.
I have not heard who they are either.
They make mostly like sort of like freemium games. This is actually the first game they've made that is like a full on like you pay for it game. They're a worker collective in Bordeaux game studio. So I don't know, but it's a good game. It is a roguelite souls like Metroidvania.
Okay.
So, and it's 2D and it's in the sort of like modern pixel art style. So you played Salt and Sanctuary, right?
Yes. I liked Salt and Sanctuary very, very much.
Yeah. So, I mean, I didn't play that game. I've seen it. I didn't play it, so I don't really have a good handle on the actual mechanics of the game, but I imagine it might be something like that. It's a 2D side scroller, and the Metroidvania aspect of it is in the most broadest sense of the word. In that, like, there's a little mini map in the corner. The levels are quite sprawling, and there are a couple of things that you need to get in the game before you can unlock certain routes that you go to. But once you get, and like, it's a roguelike. So once you get that thing, then it's a permanent thing, and then that you know, you can just open up alternate routes to go through the roguelike. And that is pretty much the extent of the Metroidvania aspect of
okay,
it.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So, like, when you first start the game, you are, like, this blob of cells, and you go into this dead body on the ground, and some guy says, oh, you're alive, and you can't die. There's really no story yet, because, like I said, it's an early access. It's basically a beta version of the game. Mm-hmm. So there's almost no story at all. So you go through like the level, you're in this sewer and you have like this crappy sword and you can, there's only one path to go through. And so you go to the next level and then on the next level, there's like two paths. You can pick two doors to go through whichever one you want to get to when you get to the end or when you find the level because it is Metroidvania. But then eventually you'll get a little item that can make like plants burst out of the ground in certain spots. And so when you die, you go back to the original little sewer level and you find a little plant bursting spot and it'll take you on a different path. And then eventually you find another item that'll let you warp through these coffins and that'll take you on a different path from the first little sewer level. And some of these sort of branches sort of loop back on each other. It's kind of like the old Castlevanias, like Castlevania 3 or something, where it's a straight line, but it's a branching path.
Right? Okay.
But the, like I said, the level design is kind of Metroidvania-ish. The combat is actually really, really good. It's like a 2D Souls-like. So there is a, like the roll that's the, gives you the invulnerability. You roll through things. And the weapons, you can have two main weapons and two sub weapons. So like you can have a sword and a bow, or you can have a spell and a throwing dagger. Those are your main weapons. And then your sub weapons are things like ice bombs or bear traps or like these little razor blades you can lay on the ground that guys will run over, sort of like secondary type stuff. And you collect, the main way you unlock things is by killing enemies. You collect cells, little blue blobs that drop from not all enemies, but some enemies. And then at the end of every level, when you find the entrance to the next one you want to go to, you meet a character who will take your cells, and then you can invest those into like whatever upgrade you want. And each upgrades take different amounts of cells. And so like you might unlock like a new type of dagger or something. And then that dagger will then appear in levels like a roguelike. And once you've unlocked things, then that will also prompt the game to drop new blueprints in the dungeons, which you can then take back to the guy who sells you stuff, and he'll have new things for you to unlock. So it's like a little progression type thing that you work through. The combat's really cool, because like I said, you get lots of different kinds of weapons. You get like maybe like a sword that'll coat your enemies in oil, and then if you have an ability that does fire damage, you can set your enemies on fire. There's a particular dagger that if you're behind your enemy, it'll do automatic critical hits. So you roll behind your enemy and just stab him in the back a bunch. It's really fast paced, and actually really quite engaging. Mm-hmm. I think it's really quite good. I would probably give it a 3 out of 4 right now if I was going to write a review, but I haven't beaten the first boss yet. I've probably put like 10 hours into the game and I still haven't beaten the first boss, because you have to go through, I think, about 4 or 5 levels to get to him. And as a Souls-like, it's pretty tough. And as a roguelike, if you get bad weapons, it's even tougher. Mm. So, yeah, it's really good. If you're into that sort of early access sort of stuff, you can might want to pick it up if you're interested. But when it comes out in full release, I would definitely recommend trying it out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sounds decent enough. The other thing that I've been playing that has some meat on it, kind of some meat on it, is a game called Seasons After Fall. On the PS4. It used to be out, came out on PC last year? Maybe earlier this year? Maybe? And just came out on PS4. It is, a game where, you're collecting, what you start out by doing is going around this forest, sort of gathering the spirits of the different seasons, and then you are able to manipulate those seasons to do things. You play basically as this this impish spirit that has taken control of a fox. So basically, you're running around as a fox. It's a 2D platformer thing. And so, like, you take control of the different seasons to do different shit. So, like, obviously, in springtime, it rains a lot. So, like, you can use the rain to increase the level of water in, like, a lake or whatever. And then you switch to winter. You know, once the water level's gone up, then you switch instantly to winter so that water freezes. And now you've got a higher platform to get up to, basically, kind of thing.
Cool.
Presentationally, like, this game is really gorgeous. It's like, if you know, like, the... I don't know whether it runs on this, I think it actually runs on Unity, but you know, like those games that ran on the UbiArt framework where it was just like hand painted drawings, basically.
Yeah. That was like, Child of Light. Was that
one
of those
games? Child of Light was one. Yeah. And Valiant Hearts and the Rayman games, right? It looks very, very much like that, but much more, I think, like where those games were more kind of, a comic book like or anime like, the like this game is very much like watercolor painting kind of thing. It really looks gorgeous, and at the same time it's got just a fantastic soundtrack. Like it's just a very small sextet that did this soundtrack, and it's just like, it's like cellos and very light strings, very like, it's sort of warm, but like there's a hint of melancholy to it. You know, it's kind of like playing a Nick Drake album, right? Mm-hmm. It's really, really, you know, it's presentationally, it's really good. The only issue, I don't know whether it's really an issue or not, but it's like, you start out this game, like the first thing, you get like the first thing which changes into autumn, and it's like, oh, you have to get like this spirit from a bear or something, is a sleepy bear. So it's like, okay, piece of piss. But then the next thing you do is you have to get winter. And you have like this kind of unreliable narrator who's telling you what to do and whatnot. And she's like, oh, but you're going into winter now. And like, it's a much more of a bigger challenge than autumn was. Like, the spirit of winter is much more malevolent. You know, it's not as kind as like the autumn spirit. She won't give this up without a fight. And like, you're going to have to get past her and her children. So it's like, okay, fine, right? Now I like, the first bit you were just teaching me how to jump and run or whatever, and now I'm gonna have to fight shit, I assume. And it was kind of like, well, you know, I was kind of just enjoying this very relaxed thing, like, I, you know, but, you know, it's a video game, I have to fight shit, right? But yeah, no, you just like run through the, you solve a couple of puzzles, and then you get to the spirit of winter, and she's like, there you go.
Okay.
It's like,
how malevolent.
And then, you know, I played for a few more hours, and like, there is zero combat or threat in this game at all, which I don't have a problem with. You know, like, I'm more than fine with playing games that don't have combat in, and it's just a matter of getting rounds, like, these locations. But it felt really strange to me, like, that the game was saying, you're gonna get ready for this one. Oh, it's gonna be tricky. It's gonna be really, no, and it wasn't, you know, it's like, I don't know. And there's also the kind of thing, like, I played this for about 3 hours, and like, according to like the percentage thing, I'm about 40% done. So I guess the game is about 6 or 7 hours. I think that's a bit too long for what this is, you know?
Okay. Yeah.
But you know, because like what this is like, you have to think a little bit from time to time, but really it's just you're going through this like really, really gorgeous animated forest, and you're listening to some really nice music. And like, I'm not sure whether I'm prepared to do that for 7 hours, you know?
Yeah, that sounds pleasant, but 7 hours of it,
Yeah, so we'll see where we are on that one, but I'm definitely like marking it down for like best soundtrack when we get to the end of the year. So it's very good. Anyway, that's those are the games that we have played this week. Apparently, there are games coming out next week.
Oh, are there?
Did you hear that? Did you get that memo?
No, I didn't. I thought games were done as a thing.
As a thing, I thought they're so over.
Just done.
Yeah. There's some of them. But I tell you what, let's play a little bit of a game as we go through this, because all I have is a list of names. I have no idea what these games are, so let's just guess what they are. And perhaps preemptively assign review scores or something. I don't know. Here's the first one. Jason, for you, Impact Winter on the PC is coming out this week.
Impact Winter. Let's say that's a apocalyptic game. And it gets a 2.
Right. Mirage Arcane Warfare on the PC. That is obviously... I don't know. I was going to say it's just a typical RPG, but I'm going to say card game. Also 2 out of 4.
Okay.
Steel Division Normandy 44.
Well, let's see. Obviously, that's about World War II, and it's a bad clone, and it gets a 2.
See, it's Steel Division, though, makes me think that it's an alternate history and there's mechs in it.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
And it did just say 44. Maybe it's 2044.
Yeah, there you go. Trackmania Lagoon. I obviously know what this is. Apparently Trackmania is, apparently they're getting better with this. And Trackmania is always good. And, this is apparently, a good sounding one of those. So I'm going to say 3 for Trackmania Lagoon. Go out and get it.
Yes.
Black Desert Online.
Black Desert Online. That sounds like a really bad MMO.
Right, okay.
A really bad MMO, and it gets a 1.
Right. Disgaea 5 Complete comes to the Switch. It's already been out in Japan, so that's a bit of a cheat. Vanquish to Steam, May 25th. 4 out of 4. Let's see, what else do we have here? Ultra Street Fighter 2, The Final Challenges, comes to Switch on May 26th.
If you like Street Fighter, that's cool.
If you want to play Street Fighter in first person.
There you go.
And or if you want to play regular Street Fighter, but with Joy-Cons. Really? Yeah, I'm not designed for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But at the same time, you know, the potential for just a very quick multiplayer with those things is good, but yeah, I don't know about that. Let's see. We have a couple of arcade classics, Neo Geo games, but they always come out. Okay, here we go. Rapid fire. Bugs Box.
Bugs Box is a phone puzzler, and it's a 2.
All right, phone puzzler, port to PS4, 2. Wait a second, gonna have to check the full name of this. It's not on this list, is it? No. Okay, I think this is the full name. Okay. Deliriant on PS4. I'm gonna say that is one of those, Japanese visual novel games, that gets a 1. Why not?
Okay.
Embers of Miriam.
Embers of Miriam is Aiden. Wanderers from East clone, and it gets a 2.
Really good. Eternal Ring. This is a PlayStation 2 game.
I know that game.
I know that game. So a very sort of, it's in the King's Field series, I believe.
It is. It is. Mm-hmm. Well, it's like a spin-off, but yes.
So think proto Dark Souls. And I remember at the time this getting appalling reviews. But that being in a pre-Dark Souls world.
Well, my brother was huge into the Kingsfield games during high school, and he played this game and did not like it. So I guess it was just too different from the Kingsfield games.
Okay. Friday the 13th, the video game.
That gets a 0.
Really? Have you not heard good things about this?
I don't know. I just like. All the old Friday the 13th games are bad, but the new one, actually, I've heard some pretty good things about it. Yeah.
Right, yeah. Because, like, this is, like, it's one of those one versus all games, right? Where one player is Freddy and, like, the other... Is
it Freddy? Jason. It's Jason.
Sorry, I'm outing myself as a dork. But the other kids are, like, the other players are, like, the kids or whatever. It's a good idea. Don't know whether...
I'm going to give it a 2.
2? Get Even on the PS4. I am going to say that is a quiz game about a quiz show. And you have to cheat the other players in the quiz, and then you try and get even with them.
I was going to say it's a math game.
Guess one. Fractions, yeah, maybe. Get even numbers. I don't know. Guilty Gear Xrd Rev 2.
Well, it's a Guilty Gear game, so it gets a 2 because it's an average fighting game.
Yeah, but those games do look gorgeous, don't they?
That's true. They do.
Kung Fury Street Rage.
Oh, that is... Did they make a game out of that movie?
Oh, it's a movie?
Yeah, it was a Netflix original. It was like a tongue-in-cheek throwback to 80s Kung Fu movies.
We've come full circle.
Mm.
It's on the PS Vita.
There you go.
Needs all the help it gets. 4 out of 4. Here's another Vita game. Awesome name. Plantera.
Plantera?
Plantera.
Oh, I'm going to say that is like a 2D Minecraft where you build stuff. And it gets a 3.
It's got a really bitching, like, metal soundtrack.
Yeah.
That should be a walking sim, right? Because they could just play walk on it.
Yeah.
Here's a letter. Portal Knights on the PS4.
Portal Knights? Is that like Knights with Portal Guns?
I have a spiel for this. This marries the, it's Minecraft meets an CRPG, basically.
Okay. Sounds cool.
Yeah. Meh. Not my thing. But, yeah, sure, too. Why not? Pox Nora.
Pox Nora, that is like a RuneScape, not RuneScape, RuneScape?
Sure, why not?
Yeah, it's RuneScape, and it gets a 3.
Puzzle Showdown, wait for it, 4K.
Puzzle Showdown 4K, that is a puzzle game made specifically for 4K TVs, and you can't play it if you don't have one, so it gets a 1.
Good. Here's a shocker, it's actually coming out. Rhyme.
Rhyme? R-Y-M-E rhyme?
R-I-M-E rhyme.
R-I-M-E rhyme.
This game has a long storied history to it, where it was going to be a PS4 exclusive that Sony were going to publish, and they were all the way behind. So when the PS4 was coming out, it was all in Edge magazine, and it's like, look at this game that's going to blow your mind. And as it turned out, at that point in time, the game did not exist. And Sony had been sold a bill of goods based on basically a concept video, and there was no fucking video game. So Sony were like, fuck you, and they ditched it. And now instead it is coming out to PS4 and Switch and PC and Xbox One, and now it's finished.
Maybe it'll be good?
Maybe it won't. I'm going to edge on not and say 1.
So fair enough.
Samurai Warriors Spirit of Sonata.
That is a remake of Samurai Showdown, and it gets a 3 because that was a great game.
Brilliant. Is that legitimately, that is what it is?
Or no, no, I have no idea.
I'm going to guess it's a Dynasty Warriors game. Smugglecraft.
Smugglecraft? That is an indie top-down RPG about smugglers, and it also gets a 3, because that sounds fun.
Okay, Spellspire, we talked about that earlier in the program. And last one is Utoware Lumono, Mask of Deception.
I don't know what it is, but it gets a 0, because that's a terrible title.
Yep. There you go, and those are the video games that are coming out next week. If you want to find out about those, there'll be at least reviews of Spellspire and Seasons After Fall coming out on the website. Probably some other things, I don't know, some things that Chad's up to, I imagine. He'll keep us up to date.
I might actually write a review for Dead Cells. I really like it.
Ooh, well, there you go. It'll be early access. What do you do with that? Is that a preview or a review? Who knows?
I don't know.
Well, anyway, you can stay tuned to that on kaijupop.com. You can also follow us on Twitter, which is at kaijupop at the website. I am at ReasonJP.
I'm at Gibsaurus.
And some member or members of our contingent will talk to you next week, right here on your phone, probably. Bye then.
See ya.
To brave the sail and chase.